Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy
they bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
What we do need?
How I love
Ephesians.
More to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we open your word this morning, we're asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be here and to be with us, to give us a greater understanding of this, your word, Heavenly Father, and to keep each and every one of us upon the pathway of righteousness. Now, Father, be with us throughout this morning, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Before we get into our service this morning, got a few announcements I want to make. We're going to kind of change the order of service. Not this morning, but starting next Sunday morning. Just a different order of things. We're going to get the church functioning like it should be. Because I want to start using and having a time before we get our preaching service started for everyone to give a testimony or to say what they've got on their mind. And then when we get done with the preaching service, I want an altar call made. And a time for communion. And I want that every service. The Lord's been on me about that.
May we stop communion? We need to get back to that.
So,
We need to get back to the communion.
Oh, yeah. He's been on me about it.
It's important.
So, this is the way things are going to be starting. So Dennis, you being on the first service change, Dennis is going to speak for us next Sunday morning. Kenny, you want this evening?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. I'll give you this evening. Because I can use the help. All right. So with that said and done, let us get in to our message this morning. Because where we're at is giving us a whole lot of things. And we're seeing today how the church is not really operating as it should be. And this is letting us know about it also, and giving us guidance how the church and our churches should be, what they should be doing. So, I'm going to back up one verse. I had finished the first 10 verses. Ordinarily, we'd be starting with verse 11. But I'm going to back up one verse, and we're going to start this morning from verse 10. It says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." 11. "Wherefore remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle walls of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both to God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fittingly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word." Now, as we back up here with this verse 10, where we left off Thursday evening, it says, "For we are his workmanship." This workmanship is not talking about our physical birth, but it's talking about our spiritual birth. Because he goes on to say, "created in Christ Jesus." You see, you don't belong to him until you accept the Lord Jesus Christ and bring him into your life. And that's why he's telling us that we are his workmanship. And he tells us how we got that way. And we got that way because we have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are all supposed to be doing good works for the Lord. Now, a lot of people think that they have to do good works in order to get salvation. That don't work. We cannot do good works to get salvation. good works comes after salvation. Because those good works are for the Lord our God. You and I cannot work our way to heaven. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. Yes, there are things we have to do. But before we come to that saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and before we have repented of our sins and then been covered by His blood, we can do nothing within ourselves except to make a choice that we want Jesus in our life. We're already walking in the ways of the world before that. But you still have that choice to make. You can continue to walk without Him in the ways of this world. And then when you step out of this world and into the next life, you can step out of this life and straight into hell. Or you can choose to start living your life with the Lord Jesus Christ and go to Him, confess your sins, and He tells you, if you confess them in honesty and sincerity, then He'll cover them. He'll take care of them. As the scripture tells us in one place, He'll throw them into the river of forgetfulness. And He'll remember them no more. Now, but then that's when our good works start. Because we are to be walking according to the Word of God, doing what He wants us to do. And the main thing He asks of each and every born-again child of the living God is that we talk to others about the gospel, that we share His word. Most of us don't do it, especially among the churches. They don't even talk to each other, let alone others. But we are to share God's word with everyone. Once you become a child of God, that is your work, is to share and spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It don't matter whether you're a man, woman, or teenager. You're supposed to be sharing that word. Now, He tells us unto good works. He goes on there in verse 10, He says, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. That's what we're supposed to be walking in. Not the ways of this world, and not letting the ways and the things going on out here in the world get us down. Because if we are walking filled with the Holy Spirit of God, we should be filled with joy, regardless of what comes against us. There still should be that joy of knowing that you are a child of God. And it don't mean we're going to walk untouched, because Satan is not going to leave you untouched. He's going to come against you. And he's going to bring other things and others with him. But you have, as a child of the living God, you have the authority and the power to stand against him. You don't have to accept him. You don't have to accept anything he brings to you. That's why we can walk in divine health. We're not seeing much of that done today. But there are some that are walking in divine health. It don't mean that he ain't going to try to give you something, because he is. But you don't have to accept it. Now, as we move on down here into verse 11, we're going to find out what was happening back in Paul's day among the churches. We've got just about the similar thing going on today, just in a little different way, but it brings it down all to the same point. Verse 11 says, "Wherefore remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands." Well, we know there was a group that followed Paul from place to place, church to church. And after he would preach, they would tell the people, well, you could live some of that and be all right, but you have to be circumcised. Because you see, the word also tells us that if we keep one point of the law, we have to keep it all. They couldn't do it, so what makes us think we can? They wouldn't give to you and I to start with. There wasn't anything given to the Gentile nations about God until the Lord Jesus Christ came and was crucified and went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit back to dwell with mankind to give us the guidance and the start of the church age. That all began on the day of Pentecost. But you see, the Jews used that circumcision as a derogatory remark against the Gentile people. Because you and I don't have to be circumcised. Now, even today, most men, when they are born, are circumcised. But we're not circumcised for religious purposes. Men's children are circumcised today for cleanliness. But the Lord Jesus, before he left this earth, told them, no, they don't have to be. All they have to do is to believe and be born again. But you see, if they could get them to do that for a religious purpose, then they would have had to have been moved under the law, which would have took them away from the Lord Jesus Christ again. And that's what they were after. Because God's own people are the ones that crucified Jesus. You hear so many today, you can ask them, well, who crucified Jesus? Well, the Romans did. No, the Romans didn't. A Roman soldier nailed him to the cross, yes. But it was his own that kept crying, crucify him, crucify him, until Pilate had to do it. Because Pilate himself was going to turn him loose. They wouldn't have it. In fact, they accepted a murderer in his place. They accepted Barnabas, which was in jail for murder. And they took him instead of the Lord Jesus Christ, his own people. Now, but so many of us has forgotten all these things. Because we want to walk with our own minds, our own beliefs, and not in God's. And that is what has filled our churches today. Now, our churches today are not teaching that you've got to be circumcised, but they are trying to teach you that you can't live without committing the same old sins over and over. Which, if you believe that, is going to move you back under the law. They don't even realize what they are doing themselves. But they got out here, and they started splitting. They started building walls between them. They call these walls denomination. They don't want to talk to each other, let alone other denominations. No, they don't. Think about that. Give you just a few minutes to think about that. I can't really have anything to do with you. I'm Baptist and you're Methodist. And I'm Baptist and you're Presbyterian. Can't have nothing to do with you. I just don't believe your way. There is only one way, and that's this way. The way of this book that we call the Holy Bible. God's Word. He only has one church. He ain't got 40 different churches and 40 different beliefs. No, he don't. But that's what we've got out here today. Look how many different churches we have this day and this time. Got so many that most of us can't name them all. I'm sure I can't name them all. It's hard to keep up with just how many different Baptist churches they are. And the Methodist churches, they split. And they was the worst about it. The Baptist was actually the worst. And that's the church I was raised in. And I'm sure that I haven't gotten them all. And I really don't know them all. Because I've met some in other places. And I can't tell you really what they did call themselves. I was in the service station in Fort Polk, Louisiana. I was looking for a church to go to. I get back out around the swamp area, because that's all around that part of the country, swamp. And I find a little church, sign says Baptist Church. It's all said, Baptist Church. Okay. Sunday I'm going to go. I did. I got there. Church was full. Nobody spoke to me. Nobody greeted me at all. I made my way in, found an empty seat, sat down in it. There ain't a sound. Got time that the sign out front said they had services. Still nobody saying nothing. The door opened up. This guy come walking down the aisle. walks up behind the podium, gets up there, no prayer, no nothing, opens up his Bible, no reading, to where you can understand reading. He went to singing. He sung there for a few minutes, closed up his Bible, walked out. Church was over. That was the whole service. He sung his service. No prayers, no greetings, no hymns before or after, no nothing. Nobody speaking to each other. Everybody just got up and walked out. I was never spoke to. Yet the sign out front said Baptist Church. And what Baptist, I don't know. I have visited a lot of the different Baptist churches. The Southern Baptist, because the church I was raised in, which started out, it was just Baptist back when I was a youngster. It turned into be a Southern Baptist right up here off the Dixie Highway on Pendleton Road. And then you've got the Independent Fundamental Baptist. You got Missionary Baptist here in Meade County, along with the First Baptist Church of Brandenburg. You've got the Meade County General Baptist Church right out on 712. You've got Calvary Baptist Church. They don't want anything to do with each other because they don't believe alike. Right in Brandenburg itself, you got two different Methodist churches. Got the Pentecostal Church. Got the Church of God. You got the Prophecy of God Church. You got the Unitarian Church, the Lutheran Church. They want nothing to do with each other, and none of them teach alike. Then you got your community churches. You got your non-denominational church. Then you got me. Me, I just teach the Bible. I don't put a name on it because I want to teach God's Word. I don't care what the people call themselves that comes in here or where they come from. I want them to be able to call themselves the child of the living God. That's what my interest is, that they can call themselves the child of the living God. I don't care whether they're Catholic, Lutheran, Presbyterian, or what. It don't matter. I don't care whether they're black, white, red, or green. Because inward, we're all the same color. And that's what God sees. He don't look on the outer. And we got so many. I was watching the program last night. God do watch a lot of them. He lets me know what's going on among our church world. And it's not pretty. Had this conference, this Christian conference going on last night in this big church And they was putting on different acts of the Bible. And they had these ladies in there, mini skirts, tops cut come down to the belly button, others in there in short shorts. And this is supposed to be at the Church of God. A big Church of God. And this conference that was going on had about 7 or 8 different churches involved, and their pastors was there. And nobody telling these ladies how to dress. And if you was to try to tell them, they'd tell you, you're against the ladies. Kenny, you told that lady she wasn't supposed to wear a micro mini skirt. You against ladies. No, I'm for her. I don't want to see her go to hell over the way she's dressing. I want to see her dress like a woman that's professing godliness. That's what the scripture says for them to do. Find it. You know, I don't understand these churches. It's all in God's word. They claim to read the Bible and about the women and how they should act and what they should do in the church and not do. They can find in 1 Timothy, 2nd chapter, 1 Corinthians 14th chapter. It's all there. But then if they go a little deeper, they can find it even back in the Old Testament, tell them how to dress. It also tells them how they're going to have to dress in the last days. God's going to take away all their jewelry, all their rouge, all of their lip rouge, as they call it. Ladies call it day lipstick. The Bible calls it lip rouge. He's going to take it all away because it's not the outside he wants. It's the inside. It's that heart. It's that spiritual being that's living in this body. This body ain't going back to him. He's going to give it a new one. So let's use it as it's supposed to be used. Now, he comes on down here now to 12 and says, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He's talking here now to the Gentile people because they didn't. They knew nothing about God. Most all your Gentile nations worshipped idols and other gods, because they didn't know anything about God, because God's people, the Jewish people, would have nothing to do with it. A Jewish man was not even allowed to go into a Gentile home under the law. You see, they was without that unity. And we are being told right here in this chapter, this is about the unity of all believers. Because when Christ came, he died on that cross, he rose on that cross, he ascended back to heaven, he sent the Holy Spirit to live with us, and he established the church. He brought all people together as one family. We are in the same family with the Jewish people, with his people. There's no difference. We have not been denied anything that was promised to them. We have the same promises that God promised to the Jewish people, his people. Our father of faith is the same father of faith as theirs. That was Abraham. He's our father of faith, and he's Jew. Our teaching came from the Jewish nation. Christianity started actually with the Jews, but then it spread over. God moved it over with Paul. That's where the Gentile began to learn about God, was the Apostle Paul, when he was made the apostle by the Lord Jesus Christ for the Gentile people. And he's the one that wrote most of the New Testament. Not many books in the New Testament he didn't write. Think about it. But yet, they still want all this division going on today. They don't want to come together in unity. If they would all come together in unity and get into the Lord's church and walk on and with the Word, you'd see this nation change almost overnight. It would go back to what it should be. The Lord Jesus Christ would be put back in to every place he's been taken out of. Think about it. They took him out of most every place. Don't even want him. They don't want you and I using him in our prayers. They stopped our military chaplains from ending their prayers in Jesus' name. The military chaplain is not allowed to end his prayer in Jesus' name. Most people don't know that. And most that do know it don't care. Because 9 out of 10 of them don't either. They'll end their prayer. And I know that all of you has heard it if you've seen any message on television at all. Instead of saying, well, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I pray in his name, amen. That could be anybody's name. Yet we are told how to pray. We are told to pray to the Father. We're not to pray to every saint and everything else. He says, pray to the Father, your heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, and I will hear from heaven. And if you know I hear from heaven, I will grant your wish. Most don't know how to pray. Yet it's wrote. It's given to us. It's all in the book. They don't stop to think about it. Now, you see, he's letting us know that there was a time that we were without Christ and we were aliens from Israel. We were strangers and aliens because they was not allowed to have anything to do with us. And that was under their law. But now things have changed. He ended at verse 12. He says, without God in the world. But verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Still talking to the Gentiles. You that were far off, you that didn't know anything, you that didn't have any knowledge about God, who he was. You wasn't allowed in our churches thing, but now you are. You're made nigh. You've been brought close now, just as the Jewish people. 14. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. The Lord Jesus Christ tore down that wall that was between the Jews and the Gentile nations. It was him that did it. And then man, over time, began to build his own walls and separate himself and cause division in the church world, because he wanted to follow his own mind, his own beliefs, his own ways, instead of what the Word of God said and told him to do. Now, 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. You see, that who he has made both one, Jesus has formed the two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, into one. No more to be divided. Not supposed to be any division. That's not what man kept. And 16, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He wanted to reconcile all people unto himself. He didn't want this division. That was not God's plan. And he wanted to bring them all reconciled back to him. And he'd done that to establishing the church age, which we now live in, which ain't going to be around much longer, until the church age will come to a close. And when it does, God's people is going to be gone. And this world is going to be left in the shape that mankind is not going to be able to even dream of it ever reaching. The things that will be going on, the evil that will be upon this world. But praise God, thank God, his people won't be here. They say, well, you know, there's going to be some still saved in the tribulation period, so we've still got a chance. Well, really, have you? No. Because, yes, there's to be 144,000 saved during the tribulation. But it's to be all Jews. 12,000 from each one of the tribes will be saved during that period. Because as of right now, the Jewish people are still trying to live under the law. Well, we've got quite a few Jews now walking with the Lord Jesus Christ. But as a nation, they are still serving the law. But when tribulation hits, there's going to be those that's going to find out they needed Jesus. And they're going to start turning to him. And that 12,000 from each one of the tribes is for God's purpose, for his use, when he sets up his kingdom. It's all in the book. Why do they find it so hard? It's because they really don't want to. There is not one thing false in this book. If you find one thing in this book that you can't believe, then don't believe none of it. God don't lie. And says, plant, he had it all wrote. Oh, man wrote it. No. Man done the writing, but he wrote what the Holy Spirit gave him to write. What God gave him to put down is what is in here. And we do know that it all works. Every bit of it works if you put it to use. Now, 17, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Jesus came and he preached to all. Oh, no, he didn't. He just preached to the Jews. No. You see, there again, they pay no attention to God's word. What woman did he meet at the well? She was a Samaritan woman. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Samaritan lady. And when he spoke to her and asked her to give him a drink, she even asked him what he was doing speaking to her. Because she knew he was a Jew and he wasn't supposed to be speaking to her. And then what did he do? He told her to go fetch her husband because he knew all about her. And she told him, she said, I have no husband. He told her, said, no, you've had five. And the one you've got now is not your husband. But he ended up saving her and telling her, go and sin no more. And she went telling everybody, didn't she? She went telling everybody about meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, about him being able to tell her about her life and what he had done for her and cause others to come to him. So why are we so worried about dividing up things today? But they are. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Through Jesus, we both, all people, we have access by one Spirit. There ain't a different Spirit for each one of us. We all have the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. And it will lead us to the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. I'm not a stranger to Israel anymore, or of Israel and the Jews. I'm a citizen with them, with those that belong to Jesus. I'm not a citizen to those that don't belong, but I'm not a citizen to those in my own country that don't belong. Now, but fellow citizens with the saints, that's where we belong today if we are a born-again child of God. We're not even supposed to worry about living in this land. Our thoughts, our wishes, our wants should be on things of Almighty God and His kingdom. And we ought to be walking in that. Now, yeah, but you're here. Yeah, I'm here. I don't have to worry about it. because he'll see me through. If I belong to him, he's going to see me through. If you belong to him, he's going to see you through. We're not to walk in fear. And we're seeing that all around us today. What our government has done with this covert. Every one of them should be gone. Should be out of office. And replaced. And a lot of them should be in jail. For what they've done to our land. That's why we need to be praying for our land and our country right now. And we should keep on praying every day for our land and our country. Now, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. No more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God. And we are built upon the foundation of what? The apostles. Where's their foundation? Where's their foundation? It's this book. When people ask me today, they'll say, what denomination are you? I'm not. I don't teach denomination. I'll teach you the Bible. Yeah, but what's your belief? What's your doctrine? Well, my doctrine is built on the apostles' doctrine. That's what I'm told to preach. That's what you're told to preach. That's what you're told to preach. The apostles' doctrine. If you come preaching any other thing than the apostles' doctrine, you're cursed. That's God's word. So all these out here that's not preaching this word of God, those ministers are standing behind this podium cursed on their way to hell and taking most of their congregation with them because they follow them. Now, and at 20th verse, where he says, we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. He is the head. He is the head. He is what holds everything together. That cornerstone held those buildings together. The way they were built at that time, that cornerstone was the strength that would hold things together. 21, and we'll close here with these last two verses. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. You and I are to be a place for God to live. This body is a home where God, by the Holy Spirit, is living. The word tells you, when you become that born-again child of the living God, the Lord Jesus Christ lives in you. You live in him. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You live in him. And the Father lives in you. You have all the deity of the Godhead living in you when you become that born-again child of God and walk in and with his word, listening to his voice and doing His will. Does it mean it's easy? No. It ain't. Will it shake me up? Oh, yes. Especially when you first get into it. While you're first beginning to really learn about the Spirit of Almighty God, He can shake you up pretty good. He can scare you sometimes almost half to death because you don't realize what's going on. That's why we are to stay in His Word. That's why we're to congregate and to come together. That's why He tells us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is. He says, don't do that. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a matter of some is. That's why our government don't have the right to tell us to close that church door. And it's in our Constitution and the First Amendment both. But what was one of the first things they done? They left the beer joints and liquor stores open. They were essential. So they said, but they closed the church door. Now they're trying to make the Bible hate speech. A book that is full of love of mankind. Wanting the very best for man. And they're trying to make it a hate speech. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for a place that we have where we can come together to study your word, to share with each other, Father, to give each other support, and to be there and to be used according to your will and your way. And Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And Father, for Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them because we know, Father, that they have very little peace because they have not been serving you. And Satan, Father, has been working throughout that land. And Father, as we pray for peace for them, we also pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their King of Kings and Lord of Lords, so that one day Israel will be known as a land for Jesus. And Father, for this land of ours, a land that was founded upon your word and filled with the name of Jesus, has turned its back, walked so far away, taken Jesus out of every place he was in, wanting to do away and to destroy your churches today, Father. Help us. Help us to get those out of office that are doing these things, Father. And help us to replace them with ones that will stand with the church, with the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to spread the gospel, not just in our own little places, in our own land, but throughout the world, Father, so that all can hear and know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for our prayer list, as each name is called, may the Holy Spirit touch that one and fulfill whatever need they have, whether that need be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Mark Pavlik, Dennis, Father, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, for Terry Coates, for Dennis Breed and his wife, Tina, for the brothers in Christ here in Brandenburg, Father. These brothers that come together from all different walks of life. But Father, when they come together on Saturday morning, bring them together in one mind and one accord, and that being in Jesus. For Pastor Smalls and the Glory Bound Church of Irvington. For Pastor Luke Bess, the Church of God of Brandenburg, and for Pastor Randy Johnson. For the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay. For Pastor Eric and his wife, Jackie. For that little full gospel church of God there at Akron. Father, these churches make them places and lighthouses to the community where they stand. And make them a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, and that light being Jesus. Keep all these churches, Father, filled with the Holy Spirit and these pastors. Keep them filled, Father, to overflowing so that they never stray nor weaken, but always serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, for my friends overseas, for Pastor Haroon Islam, for Pastor Barak Mishai, for Pastor Zephyrin Iron, Father, keep them safe, keep them in health, because we know that places where they walk can mean imprisonment and death. Now, Father, for the Johnson family, the Branson family, for the Lee family, for my wife's family, my family, and for all families that will hear this message, Father, may the Holy Spirit work in our families, work with those that are walking in darkness, turn those from darkness to light so that none be lost and all can make heaven their home. Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mount Billow and her mother, for Sue, for Palins, for Casey Smith, for Kelly Smith and his wife, for Henry Craycroft. Father, these all stand in need of thy healing touch. Touch them in a mighty and great way, Father, and touch them so that they know that it is you and not man, that they can all draw closer to the Lord Jesus Christ. Use this church, Father, and use myself in great and mighty ways, not to lift me up, but to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name, that sweet, precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. All right. Remember, we can all be together again tonight at 6 p.m. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a great day. Bye-bye now.